Hi, this is Dr. Morgan in Jacksonville at KBGS FM 90.3. You probably can't tell I wasn't actually ready at this point, but I'm ready now. We can start over. Hi, you're listening to Dr. Morgan. This is Health Essentials. Glad to be with you. Someone was just trying to call a while ago, and I just really wasn't in a position where I could take the phone call in the first place. There are so many buttons on this control board. I understand maybe two or three of them. And so if I try to venture out and start pushing buttons to take phone calls before the program starts, I'm not in my element. Maybe I should learn to do that. I'm sure John Paul or Randy could teach me that. But right now, this is the system that I understand, so we're going to go with that. If you need to join me, or if you'd like to join me this morning, please feel free to call. The number of the station is 903-586-5257. I said that way too fast. 586-5257. Area code 903. Here we go. Good morning. Our screener said that you're probably the most intelligent person I'm going to talk to today.
Well, I hope not.
No. Boy, you've got it, buddy.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
How can I help you, man?
Well, first of all, I just want to say we appreciate you, and we try and listen to you every Saturday morning.
Oh, do you really? Well, where do you live?
Mineola, Texas.
You mean it reaches that far?
Oh, yes.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, thank you for the nice compliment. Thanks for joining me. How can I help?
Well, we have a son who has the doctors say sensitive bladder.
Yeah, but he's got medicine for that now.
And he does have some medicine for it, but he has very short notice of when he needs to go to the restroom. Mm-hmm. And he just been diagnosed where his white blood cell count is real low.
Oh.
And that's what they think is causing it.
Well, why are they saying that his white blood cell count is low, which is a complete different question? What's behind the low white blood cell count?
That we don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I have a lady that sent me a text last week, and it was one of the nicest texts. She used emojis. There were prayer signs, prayer hands. There was a heart, which kind of, I guess, symbolizes love and just tremendous gratitude. But she was explaining that her husband would wake up about, 3 million times a night to go to the bathroom to urinate. I really made up the number 3 million. But whether I say 3 million or 14, it's probably the same to him, right?
Right.
Because you never get to sleep, and you always have this urinary urgency. One of the things that we had to stick through with this gentleman, and even though maybe he didn't want to do it, but I'm not judging a person for that, is we had to start reconditioning his nervous system. And one of the ways I did that is by using natural B vitamins. So let's just say, for example, there's 48 to 49 B vitamins that are found in nature. They come in the form of food. When you eat animal parts, there's B vitamins. So when a person goes so far down that their nervous system is depleted, you've got to have a mindset that you're going to rebuild it and repair it. So the text was, my husband has had 4 days in a row that he hasn't gotten up once to go to the bathroom with all the excessive urination. Don't you think I rejoice in that? Number next. You're going to have a low white blood cell count when you're consuming a substance that is really beating your immune system to death. And so two possibilities. The number one thing that I have to think about any time that a white blood cell count is below 5.6, I know that's still in the normal range, but I've read so many studies that I have a different way of looking at it, and I think mine is more precise. But you know what? I'm biased. So what? But any time that a person has a chronically low white blood cell count, then one of the things that you have to consider is they have a continual low-grade infection. And that's extremely common when you have tremendous urinary urgency. Let's get the topic off your son for a second, talk about women. If a woman says, you know what, I probably go TT, that may not be appropriate for Saturday morning, sorry. I have to go to the bathroom to release my water, 6 times a day. Well, what happens if, you know, for the next 3 days she's going to the bathroom 20 times a day and she can't control it? Even if she doesn't have cloudy urine or burning pain or a fever or vomiting or diarrhea, couldn't that really still be symptoms of a low-grade urinary tract infection? Of course it can. And I'm just going to say it to you this way. Probably well over 20 years ago, I used to do studies on men where we would actually get them to give a specimen from the male part of the body. I'll just say it that way, since this is a very family-oriented, you know, program, but you have a vivid imagination, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And every one of them, it was all the same. All these 13 to 14 men, maybe it's 12. This is back in 93, so I don't remember all the details. But every one of them, when they had urinary issues, every single one of them came back and they tested. They had some type of a chronic low-grade infection. It's just, you know, every physician they had been to had never done a urine culture, and they had never pursued it, or they didn't do one of the prostatic fluid. That's easy to do. But every one of these men that had chronic urinary problems, they were harboring a toxic bacteria that was wreaking havoc in their prostate or in their somewhere along the urinary tract. So to me, it is no mystery, and that's what has to be resolved. So two options. Either number one, find out what the infection is exactly. Maybe it's one called Escherichia coli, or E. coli for short. Maybe it's Klebsiella pneumoniae. That's the name of a toxic germ. Maybe it's another bad one that's making great headways as far as destroying all the people that go to the hospitals and making them sick with urinary tract infections. It's called Pseudomonas aeruginosa. I think the World Health Organization has that as the number two most resistant bacteria that can infect the urinary tract and never leave. So we got two options. If he's tried every measure and every drug to try to remedy this, maybe the drugs they're using are not really addressing the root cause of the problem. You just might want to consider that as a possibility. And right. That really shouldn't shock anybody, because I hear stories just about every day. These are the drugs that I've been given for 10 years, and they haven't worked, and they haven't fixed anything. My health is not restored. And you know what? I believe everything they're saying. So either we have to figure out a new plan or a new way going about this, or number one, maybe we need to try a different way to bolster the immune system where it can actually do the job that God designed it to do. And so you got to have a firm understanding and belief that God has designed the body to heal itself. The problem is sometimes we just don't know what to do, and we haven't identified what the true problem is. Because quite often, whatever you think the problem is, that may not even be it. It may be something completely differently or different. And if you haven't been exposed to what that is, you may not know what to do. So either,
right.
A, we find a different way to look at it by identifying what the problem is. And you know what, personally? This is only my opinion. Take it with a grain of salt. It is very, very difficult for today's physician or nurse practitioner or physician's assistant to figure out what the primary cause is. It's easy to look at the symptoms. Hey, I can do that with my eyes closed. Excessive urination, can't control it. You know what? I can be like them. Hey, he's got an overactive bladder. Let's give him Detrol or whatever other drug they give. That is not fixing the problem. So here's what I'm looking at. He's got either a chronic low-grade infection, or B, his parasympathetic nervous system and his sympathetic nervous system, they're so imbalanced. If we don't address that, then he's just going to have excessive urination the rest of his life. I don't know if that's the case. Or when I see kids that just wet the bed over and over again, they can't control their bladder and they have leakage and this and that and the other thing, I have no choice but to think they're eating something that their immune system finds very repulsive, and this is just the body's attempt at trying to wash it out or get it out as quick as possible. And it literally can be as simple as that. But those are the three or maybe four things that I would look at to help your son. And I think that probably he's going to come to a point where he says, Dad, I cannot continue this course. It ain't working. I got to do something different. And that's where probably I might enter the scene. Because his destiny is to live a life free of all these problems. They're weighing him down. They're a burden to him. So let's just peel back and remove the burdens. So if he's eating something that doesn't agree with his bladder, we better get rid of it. I can tell you the one thing that I think of is foods that are very high in oxalates. Now, that I have seen hit over and over again with urinary tract problems. So your homework is look up high oxalate foods. I probably could throw about five more things at you, but I'm thinking it's overkill at this point.
So, okay, I'm just writing all this down.
All right, well, this is a starting point. And okay. I know you can't figure out 100% of it on your own, but that's one of the reasons why people go to physicians so they can figure it out and say, this is your problem, and this is what you're going to do to make it better.
Right.
That's simple as that.
Well, Dr. Morgan, we appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for
we'll
the phone call.
We'll move forward with this.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I made a tactical error this morning. I did not bring water. And, man, I regret that. Could y'all hold on for 3 minutes? I'll gently walk out to my pickup and grab some and come back. Ha, ha, ha. All right. I have something that I want to read to you. And I've already read this about 5 or 6 times to myself, maybe 7 or 8. But I just want you to think about this. To me, this is very, very intriguing. And this seems to be such a major issue. Anyway, Dr. Leslie D. Weatherhead, that is the gentleman's name. He is a Christian theologian and author of a book called The Will of God. He also wrote, this is an excerpt or a paragraph that he wrote from, I think, the book called Prescription for Anxiety. And it may be that's a chapter in the book that he wrote called The Will of God. He wrote Prescription for Anxiety. I want you to hear what I'm saying here. And actually, for all you know, I'm reading this for me more than I am anybody else. But then again, I like it. This is what he says. Just consider these things. If we have in our minds a picture of ourselves as fear-haunted and defeated nobodies, we must get rid of that picture at once and hold up our heads. That is a false picture, and the false must go. God sees us as men and women in whom and through whom we can do a great work. He sees us as already serene, confident, and cheerful. He sees us not as pathetic victims of life, but masters of the art of living, not wanting sympathy, but imparting help to others, and therefore thinking less and less of ourselves, and full, not of self-concern, but of love and laughter and a desire to serve. Let us look at the real selves which are in the making the moment we believe in their existence. We must recognize the possibility of change and believe in the self we are now in the process of becoming. That old sense of unworthiness and failure must go. It is false, and we are not to believe what is false. When I read that, in my mind, I pondered it, and I went back to Scripture, and I thought to myself, what does Romans 12, verse 2 say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, doesn't that suggest that a transformation needs to be taking place? Doesn't it suggest that our minds need to be renewed? Get rid of the old? You know what the last verse in Romans 12 says? Do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. Can you get rid of all the evil? Probably not. I mean, you're only human. You're going to make mistakes. But maybe mistakes are opportunities to right the ship and correct the course. And they don't have to always be bad, yes. I am very familiar with the definition of the word, a mistake. But mistakes, sometimes there's not an intent to hurt somebody else or to hurt yourself, but they just happen. Is there a verse in the Old Testament that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaketh? And see, that's one consistent theme that I know I hear consistently is people, they have very low impressions of themselves, which leads them to physical pain and suffering. I thought that was good. All right. Now, in light of what I just read to you, I'm borrowing this from Dr. Joe Mercola. This is adapted from What You Can Learn from Other People's Regrets. It's just an article that Dr. Joe Mercola has on Mercola.com, so he gets the credit. All right, the title of the article is Proceed Boldly. Life is too short to waste on regrets. Or so say centurions, and these are people that have made it to 100 and above, that's years of age, or so say centurions when asked to share their secrets to a long, healthy life. Proceed boldly, they instruct. Don't leave yourself open to saying on your deathbed, I wish I had, and you just fill in the blank. The centurions likewise advise staying true to oneself and maintaining a strong social network of family and friends, two factors that are often the source of regret for the dying. Oh, is that true or what? In fact, according to Bronnie Ware, a former palliative care nurse and author of the Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, the most commonly cited regrets at the end of life include lacking the courage to live a life true to oneself. Number two, losing touch with friends. Number three, this is for me, working excessively at the expense of family companionship. Four, lacking the courage to express one's feelings. Five, letting worries detract from happiness. Isn't that just spectacular, folks? I mean, that could literally change the focus and the thoughts of your heart. Instead of having regrets, why don't you just take a risk and do something about it? The article goes on to say, longevity research strongly supports Ware's overall findings. The same considerations that people report regretting are what centurions get right. In interviews and surveys, centurions affirm two of the most important factors contributing to longevity are strong social connections and a sense of humor. I've seen people, they couldn't laugh at any of my jokes. Sometimes I think I'm funny. You know, sometimes I've got my A game and I think that I'm just downright hilarious because I find myself just laughing out loud. And occasionally I have a patient that's so much funnier than I could ever be, and I find myself in tears anyway. The benefits of social support are scientifically verified, with studies demonstrating that strong social support is the number one factor determining longevity and survival. In fact, its effect on mortality surpasses the influence of weight and even eclipses the influence of smoking. You may not know what I'm talking about. Smoking's bad. I mean, there's got to be something in a person where they just, you know, I don't know if they're trying to destroy themselves. I mean, I could just tell you my experience with my own father. Oh, he could smoke them all right. Of course, that's my childhood, sitting beside him in the stepside turquoise Chevy pickup, or whatever version of blue it was, and the window was always cracked because he was always smoking. Anyway. If you want to join me on the radio, there is officially a phone line open. I know several people have tried to call in, but don't give up. Don't quit. Keep trying. Dial the number 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a problem, and that is atrial fibrillation. It started in September, and I have very frequent episodes. And I like to know what to do about that.
The only time that I ever feel my heart is when I cause the problem. I'm talking about me, not you.
Okay. All right.
You know how people can become addicted to pornography?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you've heard, not you, but you've heard stories. You know people can become addicted to shopping? I mean, I've heard of women become addicted to shopping. I don't know
right.
that I am. That's not my, I mean, if I don't ever go to the mall the rest of my life, I'm thinking, yes, score, I don't need to go.
Right.
You can also become addicted to watching television, listening to the news. But what happens is, whether it's alcohol or whether it's drugs, when we consume alcohol, we get this huge surge of dopamine. And you get these other chemicals. And I tell you what, you can become addicted to them. You can't tell me that drugs like heroin are not extremely addictive, or crack cocaine. They're extremely addictive.
Right.
But one of the reasons that people consume those things is they want to, you know, maybe feel normal for just, you know, an hour or two, or feel better. Anyway, the topic that I want to bring up, which has affected me in my heart at times, is I have come to terms with one of the problems that I have. My problem is I have been addicted to overthinking. I know it's just going to hit you, but you know what? Because if I think a thought that may have a negative connotation, or I catch myself worrying about something that's going on in the world, or I, what I can do is I'm causing my autonomic nervous system, called the sympathetic nervous system, to squirt out a little bit of adrenaline or a little bit of cortisol. And I can tell you right now, that's just about the most addictive chemical of all time. You ever heard of somebody being adrenaline junkies? They'll tell you the same thing every time.
Right.
I only feel good when I'm living life on the edge and I'm pushing the envelope.
Right.
I heard a guy one time, his favorite call was when there is like a wreck with 50 people dead. And I'm going, why would he say that? But now it makes sense to me. He loves that rush of adrenaline that he feels coursing through his veins. But the reason I'm bringing this topic up, atrial fibrillation, by and large, is caused by an excessive release of cortisol and adrenaline. Adrenaline, these are stress hormones.
Right.
But and you know what? This is not going to make sense unless it does make sense to you. Your nervous system doesn't know if you're being chased by, you know, 50 hyenas that want to rip you to shreds and eat you while you're walking across the African Serengeti Plains. Or If you have processed a thought that your body finds stressful. And so I can tell you with great confidence, I don't watch TV. I don't even listen to the radio for this last month. It's been the best thing that I've ever done, except for, like this morning, I listened to Kevin Lehman talk for about 15 minutes because it was very intriguing what he was saying about communication.
Right.
So that's an opportunity for me to learn and say, okay, are you doing that, Roy? Can you do that better? But I know for a fact, I know myself well, if I lay down at night in bed and I'm not able to pass out within 2 minutes, then I know that I'm overthinking. And that overthinking is generating cortisol. There is nothing that rips the heart to shreds like too much cortisol and too much adrenaline. It's been proven over and over again.
Right.
Do they ever talk about that at the heart care center? No.
No.
They talk about, we can only get 5 more stents in your heart because you already have 1 million in there and there's no more room for them. That's not addressing the problem. It's us. And so I've come to terms with myself that if I lay in bed at night and I can't go to sleep for 2 hours, or if I sleep for 30 minutes and I wake up wide awake for 2 hours, that's me, baby. I'm doing it to myself.
Okay.
And so what I've determined is, if we don't fix that metric right there, the idea of overthinking and overprocessing information, which I'm coming to there's a little devotional book that Karen recommended to me. Do you know who Karen is?
No, sir.
Karen is a very, very interesting woman. She says things that I find very interesting and fascinating. Sometimes she catches me off guard, but she said, her friend recommended a small devotional book to her called Jesus Calling. Have you heard of that?
No, but I wish to find it.
Well, and what I did was, and I hate to admit this to you, but this is the way I proceeded. She told me about this back in December, And I think maybe a week later, I decided that I would go and look into it. And so don't laugh at what I'm going to say.
Okay.
But I said, you know, okay, I heard what Karen said, so I went to Walmart, and there was a copy on the shelf. And so I arbitrarily chose a date in my mind because it's a devotional that covers all 365 days of the year.
Right.
And so I flipped it open, and I looked at one particular date. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the date, which date it was. That's for me. It had meaning.
Right.
And so I looked up that date, and I said to myself, oh, my word, she is reading my mail. She knows exactly what I'm thinking. But what it proved to, it gave me something that I don't know that I've had in my life, and I hate to admit that, but it's true. It gave me something that I don't hear necessarily from the pulpit or from Bible class. And so, I tell you what, that has been a godsend to me. That's a gift from heaven. So I can't wait to read the copy that I have beside my bed first thing in the morning. And
right.
I can't wait to read it when I get to office. Now, you think that I'm all about, you know, healthcare 24/7. Oh, I'm focused when I'm at work. Yeah, I have a clear mind usually. It's room for improvement. But I tell you what, I can't wait to get there early so I can read that.
Right.
And usually she has like 3 or 4 Bible verses. But I tell you what, that has made all the difference in the world. But I tell you right now, I have much room for improvement in trying to get this negative junk out of my brain. You know what I mean?
Right.
So atrial fibrillation, to answer your question, technically this is very, very easy. You take zinc and you take hawthorn and magnesium. And if it were me, I would take cod liver oil. But if you do not come to terms with your continual overthinking, you'll never shut down the stress response that's damaging your heart. That's the way that you need to interpret this. So you know I love you.
Right.
Are you kidding me? You're the only one that I know of that will yell across a crowded room to visit with me. You always make me smile. Isn't that true?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You don't know that, but nobody else. Yeah, there can be 57 people lined up at the checkout line, but you're the only one that yells out my name when I'm walking. Don't you deny it either, because you just did it. And so we have got to submit our thoughts. And, of course, the verse that was listed, that date that I looked up in that book, that devotional book, Jesus Calling, you know what the verse was?
It was
Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Well, you know what?
I haven't been still. Yeah.
So zinc, magnesium, cod liver oil. Always think about natural B vitamins when you're trying to repair the nervous system or the heart.
Okay.
And then I said hawthorn. And everything I've told you is very precise and very correct and very true. And if somebody's being very honest, they're going to find out that there is a tremendous amount of research. But these are just players.
Right.
Sometimes what you got to do is you just have to do enough things right to turn the tide. And so this AFib will completely go away.
Right.
But,
okay.
If you go another year without dealing with this, you know, you'll have what you have. Let's not do that.
Right. That sounds good. So I just take the amounts. I just take whatever the bottle says.
If that's the way you go about it, yes. Yeah. So whatever the manufacturer recommends, that's what you follow and that's what you do. Unless you have a physician that's giving you a different, more precise recommendation about how to go about that. And you have a very vivid imagination, so you've already figured that one out.
Right.
So you will do as well as you want to do. But this is not a big deal if you're willing to just consider that there might be a more excellent way or a better way of going about this. But
right.
If I had only...
My life.
Well, but you know what? Life is hard.
Yeah, it is.
you tell me, do you ever have 3 straight months where it's just perfect peace nonstop and happy, joyous, you know, dancing through the meadows, picking daisies, saying hello to Bunny Rabbit?
No.
No, I don't either. But you know what? I have times that there's great peace. But the Bible tells us that if you call yourself a Christian or you're a believer, there's going to be trials and tribulations, right?
Sure, absolutely.
You know what? The verse that I read this week in the Revelation, I think it's Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, the accuser stands before the Lord night and day accusing believers. Now, what does that tell you? He's working against us 24 hours a day.
Sure is. Yes.
So, but we have Jesus, and he is the one that is atoned with his blood sacrifice for our sins. That's the only way that you're going to have everlasting peace. That's what I want, and that's certainly what you want, because I know you a little bit better than... I bet you I know you better than your average doctor knows you.
I bet so.
But the only reason I know is because you have opened yourself up to me, and you have kind of revealed some of your thoughts. And I tell you what, you're a wonderful, beautiful, amazing human being. I'll never meet another Erica. I meant Flo. I'll never meet another Flo. But you are incredible. You've got to be one of the most genuine, heartfelt, sincere people I've ever met. You have never, ever told me but exactly what's on your heart. Maybe that's your background from where you came from. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, do you think that people that are from countries other than America, that they might be a little bit more open to their feelings than Americans? I don't know. You would know.
Yeah, no. I think some countries, you've just been taught to stuff it all inside, you know?
Well, you know what a woman from Germany told me on Sunday when I was checking out at the Broadway Walmart in Tyler?
What's that?
I had my 5-year-old with me, who's... Have you ever seen Tom before?
No, sir.
Oh my goodness. Oh, he looks like he's German. He's got blue eyes. He has blonde hair. He is as smart as a whip, and he is the apple of my eye, but he just makes me laugh nonstop. He's hilarious.
Right.
You would love Thomas. Just absolutely be crazy about him like I am.
Right.
But the woman at the checkout stand had a German accent. And when she gave me the total, I gave her exact change, and she said, you're the first American man that has made precise change for me. I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, American men don't carry coins. They just got that debit card and punch it in and out. And I'm going, well, I'm different.
Right.
I don't think I have to explain to you that I'm different, but that's okay. You're different. I'm different. You know what you and I are? You and I are equals. God made us in his image. I am not better than you, and you're not better than me, but you have different skills than I do. But this German woman, she made a long comment about how I was a very unusual American man because I carried coins in my pocket. I never knew that.
That is funny.
So I've got somebody that you can visit with if you go to the Broadway Walmart.
I try to stay out of there, sir. I'm telling you what, I'm not real fond of Walmart.
Well, I am.
Big. Well, it's okay.
I know.
That's too big.
So you're gonna address these issues.
Yes,
and
sir.
And you're gonna attack them with some enthusiasm, because we're not gonna get anywhere by doing nothing. So,
absolutely.
Just respond. And you know what? What if God? All this has happened is an opportunity to grow. Maybe that's the greatest thing that I could ever say today, is when you have a health condition or a health problem, it really is an opportunity disguised in order to grow you and to improve you as a human being. It really
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah, now, I need to.
But then again, so do I, and so does every other human being that's listening this morning, if they're being honest.
Yeah, that's true. And Dr. Morgan, the meditation, I never been on medication till then. The meditation I'm on now, because of this, do I incorporate the zinc, the Hawthorne, the mag, and the cod liver oil? Or do
I'm going to have to answer that. Yet? I've got to answer that question off the air to you precisely for one precise reason. I am not allowed by law to tell a person, don't take that drug, it's going to destroy you.
That's true.
I can't do that. But what I will do is if you ask me some simple questions, I will tell you exactly what I would do, and I have zero ability to influence you one way or the other.
Okay.
You are a strong-willed woman. You can make your own decisions. But when you have information in front of you that spells it out, but let me ask you a question. Can you see yourself improving so much down the road that you get to the point where you no longer even require this medication? Can you see that happening?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Then that's half the battle right there. And so that means every fiber of your being is working toward identifying and correcting what the imbalances, the problems that are causing the heart stress.
Right.
And so once that's gone, you don't need the medication.
Absolutely. I want to get off of it.
I'm trying to think of one of the drugs for horrible AFib is called amiodarone. There's nobody that can take that drug long term. I've never seen a person take it for more than a year and a half because the side effects are so horrid.
Right.
I could see a beautiful specimen of a man take amiodarone for AFib, and man, it'll destroy him every single time. He'll go, look at all this fluid on my legs. I didn't have that before. I'm so physically weak. I don't feel like a man anymore. And it just goes on and on and on. It can't be done. Yeah, it's a powerful drug, and it will turn off AFib, but it can't be done forever. And that's where people come to me and say, Dr. Morgan, this is the only option they're giving me. They're giving me this drug for AFib, but I can't do it any longer. The drug or the cure is worse than the disease.
Sure, absolutely. But
so anyway, just ponder and consider these things in your heart. Let me know what you think of them, okay?
Right, I will. And I think I'm going to call you this week for an appointment so we can talk face to face.
You mean instead of yelling about 50 yards away?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for your phone call, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, whatever topic you want to talk about related to natural health care, nutrient supplements, symptoms. No, but I was serious about what I said earlier. If you want to call me and discuss symptoms, but sometimes symptoms, it's really coming from somewhere else. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
Hello. I'm very glad to be talking to you.
Good. Just turn your radio off.
I just did.
Oh, perfect. Okay, you're great. Never mind. Scratch that last statement.
Okay. Dr. Morgan, I really thank you for all of your help.
Oh,
you're
too kind. You're so kind. Thank
you. Oh, thank you. I'm calling you about my husband. He has parathyroid, which means he has calcium in his blood.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been to the doctor about that, and he doesn't have all of the results of the testing for that. And he says when he does, that we may have to do surgery. Well,
mm-hmm. And
I
think that's
to know what you.
Well, there's one. Well, I'm sorry, I cut you off. I'm just chomping at the bit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wondered what you thought about that.
Okay. There's no great precision in what I'm about to say. I'm just telling you from my observations. Okay.
Okay.
So let's say that your husband doesn't really feel as good as he used to feel, and he's got some issues, and he knows something's off. So when he goes to the doctor may do just a standard blood chemistry profile. And part of that profile, they may measure calcium levels.
Yes.
And maybe everything on there is just perfectly normal, except the calcium level comes back much higher than what the upper end of normal value would be, and I'll just make up a number. Let's say that the calcium level comes back at 10.95, or let's just say 11 to make it round it off to 11. And the doctor calls him like 3 weeks later in a very efficient, prompt manner to discuss the results. You know, he's only been waiting 3 weeks to find out what's going on. And the doctor says, you know what, everything looks really good except your calcium is high. And so, you know, your husband says, well, what does that mean? Oh, not sure. Let's just check it again in 6 months and see what's going on. So they do it again. And it comes back at 11.2. And the doctor says, you know what, everything's normal except his calcium level is 11.2 now. And 6 months ago, it was 11. And your husband and you go, well, what does that mean? Oh, maybe we should just watch it. It's probably not a big deal. But you decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to maybe Google what does high calcium mean on the internet. And you come back with an internet search that says there is a hormone that's produced by a very small, there's four small glands, you know, as I'll just include them with the thyroid. They're called the parathyroids.
Mm-hmm.
And the parathyroids, they produce a hormone called parathormone. Yeah, look it up if you like. But the other one that I'm interested in talking about is called calcitonin. So if you and I break down the word calcitonin, you think, does that have to do with setting the tone for calcium in the body? And you might go, yeah. So when you come back with a high calcium level, if you do an internet search, which a lot of times doctors don't like that, except me, I mean, because, hey, why not find out what's going on, correct?
Right.
And so you look up high calcium, you go, you know what, maybe he's got a parathyroid problem. So you call the doctor back and say, do you think the doctor could maybe consider that he's got a parathyroid problem? Ma'am, and the nurse says, ma'am, I just talked to the doctor, and he doesn't have a visit scheduled for your husband for a year, but this whole time you're thinking, well, what's the purpose of doing a lab test if you're not going to act on it? I mean, action speaks louder than words, right?
Right.
Anyway, parathyroid. And so this is the point that I was going to make. This is like any other thing that you could tell me today. It doesn't matter what it is. There's very mild versions of parathyroid problems, and there's very severe versions of them, meaning they have spiraled out of control unbeknownst to the person that owns the problem for years, and they've kind of passed the point of no return. Those, you just got to have the parathyroids removed and take hormone replacement therapy the rest of your life. Now, that's the worst-case scenario. But okay. they don't know which gland is problematic or which one isn't until they surgically go in there and test them. They can tell you, and I think that's how they do it. They surgically do a biopsy, which is just taking some of the tissue, and they measure the hormones that are produced in the lab, and I think it only takes, 30 minutes to get a lab result once or more or less. Probably, never mind, I'm not an expert, I don't know. But it doesn't take long, and they go, yep, he's got four parathyroids, but one of them has gone bonkers. It's just all wonky, overproducing calcitonin, so you have this high level of calcium. That's a problem, though, because when you have too much calcium in the blood, it's going to be deposited somewhere. And I know this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer it, but does your husband really want lots of calcium building up in his heart or brain or kidneys?
No.
Yeah, that's the only answer to it. And so we got to find out what the deal is. But the mild ones, the mild cases, if I give him parathyroid extract, do you know what the word protomorphogen means?
No.
Neither do I. I was just hoping you could. No, I'm joking. But you can take what are called parathyroid protomorphogens that come from a cow's parathyroid. And when you give them to a human, it tells the parathyroid to start behaving and getting its act together and turning the ship around or changing the course for the better. And so that's a healing agent. Number two, vitamin K2 and vitamin C. So I'll go into as much detail as you want, but I don't see parathyroid problems that don't have a great deficiency with vitamin K2 and vitamin C. Now, that's just an oversimplification, but that's just the way it is. The next thing...
Well, we do take both of those vitamins. But good. Yeah,
The other thing that can do this...
Please tell me again the name of that long word, para something...
Parathyroid?
No, that other word.
You already have parathyroid mastered. It's called protomorphogen. I'm going to have to phonically spell it. Protomorphogen. I've got it, sister. You ready to write it down?
I am.
P-R-O-T-O-M-O-R-P-H-O. Santa Claus could write this word. G-E-N. Protomorphogen. That is what you give a person with a parathyroid problem, in my opinion. And anybody else's opinion, it would be powerful drugs to beat it to death and suppress it, or surgery.
So what is this? Is this a... It's not a medication?
No, and I said it too fast earlier. Forgive me, that's on me. It's a extract that comes from a cow's parathyroid.
Oh yeah, extract. You just say that.
But you know your husband far better than I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a worrier?
Not overly, no.
Does he know how to relax really well?
No.
Okay, then we hit the gold standard. If you can't relax, you can't heal the parathyroid.
Oh, okay.
So
can't relax.
Well, okay. I mean, how can you?
Well, he's 82 years old, so he's got to relearn some things, right?
Well, and yeah, and so whether you're 53 or 36 or 22 or 12,
mm-hmm.
you've got an opportunity here to relearn some things. It's, by the way, it's his fault he's 82, not mine. I'm not responsible for him being 82.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, I appreciate your phone call. I hope I've helped in some small way.
Yes, thank you very
much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
At least you have an 82-year-old husband that cherishes and adores you on every level. That is great. It's up to him to relearn. It's just like, ma'am, you are completely free of being responsible for his feelings and emotions about stress. That's not your deal. That's his deal. His choice. I just pushed and pushed and it wouldn't go, but I pushed again. It finally went. Welcome to the program.
You did it, doctor.
Whew, finally. How are you today?
Pretty good. This is the Pasadena Kid.
You mean the man that knows where the largest deposits of gold nuggets are in Alaska, but he won't tell me his favorite talk show personality?
I've invited you.
Well, you have, but you didn't give me a plan. I gotta have details.
Okay. Well,
how long do I need? It's like when Nehemiah, you know, talks to the king says, how long will you be gone? I gotta have a plan.
Well, maybe we have to sit down over a cup of coffee sometime and talk about it.
Maybe we did. Well, how can I? Maybe we can. How can I help you today?
Okay. By the way, I'm one of those guys that doesn't have a TV since he came back from the bush of Alaska either, so I agree with you.
Well, it has made a huge positive impact on my life, and I think I don't have to ask you if you agree because you do.
I sure do.
Way to go, man.
And I'm a ham radio operator, and I've got a bunch of friends that get their adrenaline rush by chasing storm spotters.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And some of them have absolutely quit doing that. They've come too close to death. But
oh, my word. See, I've never even entertained the idea that I want to chase a F5 tornado.
Yeah, I talk to them on the radio, but I'm not one of the guys that get out there and try to run them down and just see if they can get in the middle of them. Not
yeah,
me.
but you hear all the chatter, don't you?
Yeah, I talk directly to them and to the National Weather Service, too, right straight to them.
You know what I would say to them if I was on the ham radio?
What would you say?
Time to turn your life around. Let's do a 180 right now. Go the other direction, away from the tornado.
Yeah, well, ham radio operators are very, very valuable because from Fort Worth or Shreveport, they cannot see below 4,000 feet, so we're giving them up-to-date minute.
I had never heard that before.
Yeah, they depend on us ham radio operators to give them that information. They can't see below 4,000 feet on radar.
Oh, it's all coming together.
Okay. Hey, I got a question, and I've been thinking about it for a long time. I thought maybe I'd get your opinion. When I was a kid down there in Pasadena with all the pollution, I had asthma severely, and that's why my parents had to move to Dallas because the doctors told them to get me out of that climate. But when I was in school, I couldn't concentrate because my sinuses would stop up, and the only way I could stop them is lay on one side and then go on the other side and till it opened up. Well, they won't let you do that in the classroom, so I never could concentrate in school. But
no, you can do that, but you'll just be doing that from the nurse's station or the principal's office or detention.
Yeah, or get in trouble for doing it.
Yeah.
When I was talking to a fellow brother in the Lord one time about asthma, he asked me a question. He said, Orban, when you were a kid, did you ever, your mama pour this powder in a saucer light it and it would fizz, and you would breathe it and it would open up your bronchioles. It was called Asthmador. And I said, I sure did. I was addicted to that stuff night after night.
That's familiar with it. What is it?
It was called Asthmador.
No, that I got, but what is it made of?
Well, here's what I heard, and I don't know if it's founded or not, but what I heard was it actually had marijuana in it, and the EPA or whoever agency it is made them take it off the market.
I can't imagine them not wanting marijuana in a product.
Hey, you know what? I don't go to a particular feed store anymore because they started selling that oil, and I'm just not in agreement with marijuana.
What do you mean? Cannabis oil?
Yes.
I don't know if you know this or not, but God has designed a very specific system in the human body. It's called the cannabinoid reticular system. It's real. It only responds to cannabinoids. Now, there's a plant called the purple coneflower or echinacea. It seems to have a high concentration of cannabinoids. How do you think cannabis gets its name? Because of its high level of cannabinoid compounds. So there's more to this than what I completely understand.
Okay, that's what I
was wondering. But anyway, it's just... No, go ahead, please.
Oh, that's what I was wanting to get your take on it, because
You're not going to get high off cannabinoids unless you get them from smoking dope.
Okay.
So you can get cannabinoids from hemp, and that's like the most fabulous ropes ever created. If I was stranded on an island and there was hemp, I think I could lash some fibers together and climb up the cliff and... Like in, what is that movie called with Tom Hanks? Was it called Castaway?
Something like that.
I could see myself doing that.
Yeah, I'm an old cowboy. I use those ropes, too, but...
Well, anyway, it's just an idea, so I'm not trying to tell you how to think about this. I'm just telling you there is a system within the body that it responds to cannabinoids in a very positive manner. I'm not telling anybody how to think or what to do with this. I'm just saying there is something going on there. I just don't have all the information, but, you know, I'm kind of a very curious, hungry person when it comes to information. I love it. I don't care where the source is. If it can help a person get better, I'm all for it. But I'm just open that if I had a child that had a massive brain tumor and the doctor said to me, we might have to remove the child's brain in order to stop the growth of it, I'm going to go, maybe try something different first before we do that. Because there have been many cases of tumors that have just completely dissolved and spontaneous regression or spontaneous remission, spontaneous healing, just with the use of cannabis oil. Not the kind to get you high. You're not trying to get into an altered reality. If you want to start talking about marijuana, then I can start making a beef on people taking muscle relaxers and painkillers and opioids and drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes and how many other drugs are out there? Crystal meth, methamphetamine? They're all trying to escape reality. I'm not judging for that. I'm all into feeling a person's pain, but I want to give them a different way where they can live instead of losing all their teeth and losing everything they own and destroying their families and themselves. God designed us to live to glorify Him, right?
That's correct. I believe you. I studied the Word, and I agree with you.
So did the Asthmador with cannabis work better than anything else?
Well, I tell people, I was addicted to it, and I could sleep
What do you mean by addicted to it? Do you mean you were addicted to it because you had great results, and you decided, hey, this is the one remedy that I can use, and so you got relief?
And I would get fearful if I knew we were going to run out before I could go to sleep with it that night.
Well, do you think that was a true addiction, like, you know, somebody smoking a cigarette and they become nervous and jittery and shaky without it?
I'm kind of like thinking maybe I was just sort of seeing the advantage of being able to breathe when I breathed smoke from it.
Sure.
And I was thinking, well... Why did they take it off the market? It's just like Buick in Alaska. I used to put on my sled dogs to keep the mosquitoes off. They finally outlawed that, and you can't buy that anymore to put on your sled dogs.
Well, there's a lot of questions that I cannot answer, but I can tell you this. Just about any time that there is a highly natural, safe remedy to be used that competes with drugs, Uh-huh. I can tell you right now which one wins and which one loses. You care to guess which one that is?
I agree. I know exactly what you're saying.
And so if somebody were, if a doctor said, we're going to have to put you on very expensive medication to control your pain, your anxiety, they're not going to say, you might could just take Kava lactones, and that's natural. It comes from the South Pacific, and it's very, very safe. That may work better than anything else that we've got in our arsenal. But the FDA, no, they don't really approve of that. They don't go along with that. In the Bible, it says the root of all evil is the love of what now? I don't remember the rest of it. What's the root of all evil again?
The love of money.
Oh, see? Thank you. I couldn't remember it, but you just brought it back to me.
Not money, but the love of money.
Yeah, or maybe the King James says the greed of money, right? Yeah. The word greed, that don't sound so good.
It's just like my doctor. I went to him one time and told him, you probably don't agree with this, but I used DMSO, and he said, no, my dad was a veterinarian.
Yeah. And you know what? You can buy a jar of DMSO at Tractor Supply for $5.
Right.
$5. There's no drug you couldn't get a medicinal salve that was that cheap, could you?
No, sir.
Do I almost sound like I'm getting a little bit negative talking about this? Let me be positive. Everybody has to come to the point where they have to decide what they want. And if you want to have health that's not destroyed by drugs, then you're going to have to open up your mind to maybe natural remedies or doing things differently. That's all there is to it. And the beautiful part of it is it's a lot cheaper. It's infinitely safer. How many people died last year from, you know, overdosing of vitamin C? Can you tell me? I already know the answer. Zero. None. How many people died last year from taking baby aspirin? I think it's 3,200 died, with about 27,000 hospitalized for severe bleeding in the gut somewhere. Every time you take a baby aspirin, you're going to lose between a half a teaspoon and a tablespoon and a half of blood. It's just going to leak into the body. Anyway, we're all out of time for today. Thanks, Pasadena Kid.
Happy trails.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.